G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Thank you for inviting us to come today. It's always a great privilege, and I just like to go and tell people how wonderful Jesus is. Amen. Jesus be lifted up and glorified. I'm happy anywhere. Amen. So let's just look to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. Father, thank you that there are people that have got ears to hear, hearts are receptive, Father. And I thank you for revelation knowledge for all of us, Father, today, that we can get more glimpses of what you've done in Christ for us and placed on the inside of us. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you bring your Bibles today?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to do a little bit of teaching. I do that from time to time. But I want to talk to you today about how to receive from God. And I want to just have to kick off here talking a little about in the area of prayer, and then I'll move into some other areas. It's 20 past already. Okay. I just want to talk to you about prayer now. People's default on prayer, even in a worldly system, the default on prayer is to beg and plead and ask over and over and over again. That's the default. That's the prayer default. And I've seen documentaries of these Tibetan monks and in Tibet and things like that, and they have these spinning wheels that go around their prayer wheels, and the prayers are in them. They go round and round and round. They have prayer flags and all these sorts of things. And when I saw these documentaries, this little ditty came to me, round and round and round they go, talking about their prayers, round and round and round they go. Whether they get an answer, nobody knows. So the default, man could never ever attain how to relate to God through prayer without the Word of God. Because our default is to beg, to plead, to be a God botherer, and to just repeatedly nag, 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 that kind of thing, okay? So, in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, we see Jesus is actually, this is what they call the Sermon of the Mount in chapters 5 and 6 and 7. And Jesus starts to talk, if you're in Matthew chapter 5, he starts to talk about prayer and the Beatitudes and that. In Matthew 6, verse 7, he says, but before that, you know, don't do things just to be seen. And he starts to say about hypocrites, they love to pray. And the reason the hypocrites love to pray is because they want to be seen. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. We just got to have the right heart attitude, okay? And then he goes on here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, unless I state otherwise. He says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Everybody say vain repetitions. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Everybody say heathen.
Heathen.
Say it again.
Heathen.
Say it again. So when you get this idea of vain repetition saying the same thing over and over, this is heathenistic. Now, this is just not a problem today. This was happening 2,000 years ago. And whether you realize it or not, this has often crept into the church because people don't have a revelation of the true nature and character of God. God is not a withholder. He is a liberal giver. He is a father that's provided everything for us that we need. Every problem that you have to face, every problem that you will face in the future, there is an answer in God. Amen? So he says, because don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think, the heathen, that they will be heard of their many words. This is not the case. They won't be heard for their many words. God listens to the cry of faith. Amen? So, working on this, I've found that in the body of Christ, I think there's a lot of dyslexia, right? And I just want to lay this foundation before I get to the other part. But There's a couple of stories. I'm just going to read from this book here, I think. In two parables that Jesus talks about prayer, and one of them is about the guy who comes at the night to his friend's house because he's had a visitor come out of town. Does everybody know this story? Does anybody, look, I'm not trying to embarrass you. Did anybody not know this story? Okay, well, for you, we'll read it. Let's pick up this story in Luke chapter 11, and let's read from verse 5. Luke 11, verse 5. And the problem, you know, with dyslexia, normal, natural dyslexia, which you can be healed of, by the way, you see things back the front. It might see, say 103 George Street, but you see 301. It's back the front. Okay? And this is what happens often spiritually in the body of Christ. Now, Jesus says here in verse 5 of Luke 11, and he said to him, which of you shall have a friend? So this is a question. Would you have a friend that acted this way? Just remember that. And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. Verse 7, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give to you. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, everybody say persistence. In the Old King James, that word is importunity. Everybody say importunity. Say importunity. Importunity. Okay, remember that. Because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And Jesus goes on. Let's miss verse 9 to verse 11. Just drop down to verse 11. And he says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, would he give him a stone? What's the answer? Of course not. Or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No. Or if he asks for egg, would he offer him a scorpion? No. If you then, being evil, or natural people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much less? Oh, sorry. Oh, must have been the light. How much what?
More.
How much more will he give you to give good gifts to your children? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask them? In another account in Luke, it said, how much more will God give you good things to those who ask them? So I want you to see there's three relationships that Jesus is talking about here. We've got a natural relationship with a friend. I would call it a reluctant friend. Sorry, must have been the cake I ate. A reluctant friend. Then we have a relationship between an earthly father, and then we have a relationship between a heavenly father. And what he is saying here is that God is willing to meet all of your needs. Now, I want to read you this out of this book, because this is a very good book, which was co-authored by my wife. And because we took so much time to make sure every word's right, it's probably going to be a more articulated better than I can speak. So Jesus starts this parable saying, which of you would have a friend? In other words, would a friend of yours act this way? Probably not. This parable uses the example of a man going to his friend's house in the middle of the night to ask for some bread. Traditionally, emphasis has been placed on the asker's persistence rather than the Heavenly Father's benevolence. The implication is often made that when you approach God in prayer, we need to persistently beg, plead, and nag the Lord until he has no option to give us what we want, to keep us quiet or to shut us up. Amazingly, there's a great deal of spiritual dyslexia in the body of Christ as some people read something into text that is opposite to what the scripture is actually saying. It is often inferred that we need to ask, keep on ask, knock, keep on knocking, even though the scripture does not say this. In verse 8, we see the word persistence in the New King James, right? In the Old King James, the word there is importunity. When we read this passage in the context, we find these two words can convey a totally different impression to what Jesus was actually saying or illustrating with this parable. This word in the original Greek manuscript is the word anadeia, A-N-A-D-E-I-A. It's only used once in the New Testament, this Greek word. Okay? And it implies the idea of impudence, boldness, forwardness. Is that the right word? Forwardness, not a word that I use. And shamelessness. Okay? It does not refer to nagging, begging or pleading over and over for the same thing. In other words, it is because of the friend's impudence, boldness, forwardness and shamelessness that his friend will arise and give him what he needs. If you have a good friend, then you would naturally believe that because of his loving concern, he would help you in time of need. Begging and persistently nagging are totally opposite to assurance, boldness and forwardness. The context in which this story is presented is totally different from the idea of persistence applied by some translators. The implication that we have to beg and nag God gives the impression that he has a total lack of willingness to help us and will only come to our aid begrudgingly after much begging. Hebrews 4 verse 6 says, "Let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You with me so far? Is my reading okay? This is a faith project for me. I'm a great reader because I'm a faith man. Okay. So we talked about the reluctant friend and natural father. Okay. Now, this is interesting. We did actually a survey when I was pastoring a church some years ago, and we wanted to find out. I said, if a friend rang you up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're tucked up in bed, it's cold outside, maybe Jack Frost is running around outside, and they said, "I've run out of petrol, can you come and help me?" Everybody said they would. Everybody, 100%. But we said, if you ran out of petrol, and would you ring anybody in the church or a friend to come and get you? And everyone said, no. We're going to be God botherers. Isn't that interesting? Okay. So, we see in the parable that the natural father provides for his child. There isn't any begging or pleading here. Jesus goes on his way. So, how much more will your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Amen. Matthew 7:11, Jesus says, Matthew 7:11, the same thing. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to give your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things? Everybody say good things. Good things to those who ask him. Amen. Persistently asking for the same thing over and over, especially when it's something that has already been promised in God's word, does not have its roots in faith but unbelief. Unbelief keeps on asking for something that God has already provided without ever recognizing it has to be received. Amen? So we don't have to beg, so forth. King David said in Psalm 37, verse 25, "I've been young, I've been old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread." Here's another parable that I want to... This is just my introduction, by the way. Here's another parable, because I want to get this out of the way and get to the... Well, it's all good to where I want to go. You believe I hear from God, right? Okay, Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Here's another one that gets all squirreled up. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. I'm cheating because I don't have to turn it to it in my Bible. I'm just cheating, right? Then Jesus spoke another parable to them. He said that men should always pray and not to lose heart, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God nor regard man." So this guy does not give a rip about God. He doesn't give a rip about anybody else except himself, probably. It doesn't say that. I'm saying that. Verse 3. "Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Avenge me of my adversaries.' And he would not for a while, but afterwards said with himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continually coming she wearies me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge says.'" Everybody say, "unjust judge." See, some people try and marry this together and they think that we're comparing this to God and this is the way we've got to treat God. God is not unjust. You know, it's amazing how people get things all squirreled up. So, the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge says." Verse 7, And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them really slowly. If he gets round to it, he's not too busy. What does it say? He's going to avenge them what?
Speedily.
Speedily. Fantastic. Remember that. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? Once again, Jesus reinforcing the fact that God is not unjust. He is our loving Heavenly Father and wants to meet our need. He is not like the unjust judge. God is just and he will meet his children's needs speedily. Jesus making a contrast between the actions of an unrighteous judge, who's a type of Satan, and our righteous God. Although the unjust judge does not fear God or man, he does fear the widow, who is a type of a New Testament believer. And Jesus said in this parable not to lose heart or faint. When do we lose heart or faint? When the storms of life try to overwhelm us. Amen. It says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Once we have prayed, we need to be used our God-given authority and demand our rights as believers. This is not demanding of God, but rather telling them to back off, pack his bags. Amen? Then Jesus going on to say in verse 8, nevertheless, I tell you, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? In context, he's talking about prayer and specifically asking on his return, will there be those who are able to pray in faith, believing that God is willing to meet their need? And at the time of Jesus' return, will there be anyone who can still pray in faith and operate in the believer's authority, knowing that God is not just able but willing to grant our request? When Jesus returns, will he find beggars or receivers? Okay? All right, now that's my introduction. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Now, while you're finding that, let me just tell you, when we're looking at this Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he also inserts the Lord's Prayer then, and that was straight after he says, don't you use vain repetitions. And what do people do? They play the Lord's Prayer all the time. It was an example prayer, learns from this. This is an example of how you can do things. He didn't say pray this prayer over and over for the next 2,000 years. Because people, you know, I don't hear people using this. This was straight after he said don't use vain repetitions. Let's not get religious, right? Because religion doesn't work. Religion doesn't work. It's poison. It's opium to the people. It's dead. I must remember to tell you something. When John was teaching on his first session, you know, I'm really into the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid. I love that. And actually on the back of that book it says that we are teachers, and when we teach, our teaching is so simple the smallest child can understand it and implement it in his life. And somebody says, man, that was simple. That's a compliment, because I am not deep. I just keep it like John says, I like it just straight. Because you know what? If you make it too deep or abuse big words, only the giraffes can get it. But you keep it down on this level, everybody can, even a three-year-old child. Amen? And when he was speaking, he said that God spoke to my wife. It was such an awesome revelation, which I know she shared with you, but I thought it was good. That KISS principle, you know, when you try and make it complicated, what did he say again? Pride complicates it. And religion is based in pride, what I'm doing, and so forth. Have you found Matthew 7, verse 7? Okay, here we go. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Now, some translations said, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. And for some reason, that doesn't mean you're asking over and over the same thing. I have this, whatever you want to call this, a phone, and I'll get you, this is my wife Lindy, I'm going to ask you to ask me to give you your phone. Ask and she receive. Why would she have to keep asking if she's already got it? Because she wouldn't be keeping on receiving the same phone because she's just got the one phone. Hello? So ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Now, a lot of people interpret their Bible by their experience. But I asked, and I didn't receive. There wouldn't be a person in this place here that hasn't asked for something and you didn't receive it, including me. But we have to interpret our experiences by the Word of God, not the other way around. And if we're not effective in our prayer life in what we're doing, we can be like sitting in a car with the engine running. We've got it in park, we're revving the motor, there's a lot of noise and activity, but you're not going anywhere in park. Amen? So if we're not getting the answers, what I've found that there's a Bible pattern. When you use the Bible pattern, you get Bible results. You know, I see miracles every week. I mean, healing miracles. Every week. Maybe not every week, because if somebody doesn't come to me or I don't run into somebody, not. But mostly, it's like a weekly. Sometimes I have more in a week than others, so it balances out weekly, probably even daily. Because I found that there's a Bible pattern. And, you know, when I first started off in ministry, I went in full-time ministry in the 1980s, and the first person I ever prayed for was in Alice Springs. And the first person I ever prayed for healing, they died. And you know what I realized? I thought to myself, this is not sustainable. You can't be praying for people and they die on you. You're just going to end up, you know what? You're just going to run out of customers. But you know what? I changed. It wasn't God didn't need to change. I had to change. Amen. I had to do things differently and better. So I see people healed on purpose, not accidentally. Actually, you know, some people pray for the sick, and when they get healed, they're shocked. Listen, when I minister to the sick and they're not healed, I'm shocked, because I expect everyone to get healed. Okay. So, we're sitting here today and say, well, I prayed and I didn't receive. And you know, it says in Romans 3 verse 4, it says, let God be true and every man a liar. And then Jesus went on to say, religion actually tries to explain this away. Actually, what religion can do is say, when you ask for something and you don't receive it, it doesn't manifest for you. You say, well, you know, maybe God says no. Or maybe God says wait. Well, it says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are. It doesn't say no there. It doesn't say wait there. Amen? Or then some people say, well, you've got to pray if it be thy will. When you pray, you've got to pray if it be thy will, because Jesus prayed if it be thy will. That's not in the Bible. Jesus never prayed if it be thy will. He prayed, not my will be done, but your will be done. That's totally different to praying if it be thy will. But one of these if it be thy will prayers, that's like one of these chicken prayers. You know what a chicken prayer is? Just make it as generic you can, and if it doesn't work, you can just sort of whistle. You know, Lord, it pretty please, in the name of, what do they say? For Jesus' sake, heal this person. But if you don't heal him, Lord, just kill him. It's all right. Amen. That's a chicken prayer. Hey? So you don't have to pray if it be thy will. You want to find out God's will is before you pray. Amen. And his will is in his word. Isn't that true? And many people don't believe this verse as is written, because they say, I asked and I didn't receive. Well, it says in 1 John 5 verses 14 and 15, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. And if he hears us, we what? Whatever we ask, we know. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Amen? If you prayed a prayer according to God's will, God not only heard your prayer, but he's answered your prayer. Okay. We're all on the same page. That's good. Well, you know, another thing that goes along, another verse that goes along, this Kenneth Hagin wrote this verse, I think, Mark 11, verse 24. Whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, you believe you receive them and you shall have them. Actually, Kenneth Hagin didn't write that. Jesus said that. Amen. Now, look at the tenses here. You want to turn to Mark 11, verse 24? Actually, let's go back to verse 8 of Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. Sorry about that. You forgive me?
Yes.
Everybody say, I love Dave.
Love
Matthew 7, verse 8 says, and Jesus went on to say, for everyone who asks. Now, what's everyone, right? 73%. What is it? 93.4%. So everyone who asks, what? Everybody. That's no exceptions. What if you're ugly? If you ask according to God's will, if you're ugly, would God answer ugly prayers? No, I come back tomorrow, you're too ugly. You're not sincere. Maybe you haven't paid your tithes. You haven't fasted and prayed enough. No, for everyone who asks, receives. Amen. He who seeks and he who knocks, he'll be open. Awesome, isn't it? Praise God. Mark 11, verse 24, we turn up to that and we'll have a look at that. It says, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I'm sure you're well taught in this church. Look at the tenses. When you pray, you believe you receive them. When do you have to believe you receive it? When you pray. Not when you see it. Not when you feel it. You have to believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have them, future tense. Amen. So, how do we actually balance this out, all right? You have to believe you receive when you pray, not when you see it, not when you feel it. You have to believe right there and then, and you will have it in the future tense. Say, for example, you had a financial need. Okay, so you pray. You pray for God. You say, I've got need some money. I need something. I need whatever. And then all of a sudden, you go, amen. Then you go to your wallet. You call them a billfold, don't you? A wallet is a billfold. Do you have a wallet there? You go and have a look in your wallet and your wallet's empty. So how can you believe you receive when the wallet's still empty and then you get a call from a creditor saying, where's my money? How are you going to resolve this? How are you going to deal with this? That's fair enough?
Yep.
Oh, I'm in trouble now. How am I going to answer this? I've painted myself in a corner. Which is true? They're both true. They're both true. And the simple answer is, there is not only just this natural realm, this physical realm, this realm that we live in, this natural world, there is also a spiritual realm. Amen? There's a spiritual realm. And in John 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. He said, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. There is really no direct connector between the spirit realm and this natural realm. Amen? So, people come up with statements to try and explain faith. And they say, from Mark 11, verse 23 and verse 24, they say, well, if I just say something is true and I say it long enough, it will become true. Or they say something is real. If I say it's real and I say it long enough, it'll become real, even though it's not real. That's what some people think faith is. But it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It doesn't say the evidence of things that don't exist. They do exist. There are in the spiritual realm, there are things like healing, all the blessings of God, all the things that are true for us that are in Christ, everything that God has placed on the inside of us. And the only way that they come out to us is we have to put faith in those promises. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you know in here, there are TV signals, there are radio signals, and somebody says, well, I don't see them, I can't hear them. Well, it doesn't mean they're not here, it just means you're not real smart. And to prove that they are here, we can get a television set, we can plug it in, we can tune it in, we can turn it on, and you'd start to see a picture, you'd see sight and sound. But that's not when that signal was starting to broadcast, they were already here in this room. They were already here, but you needed a receiver to plug in, tune on, and convert those signals into sight and sound, into a format that we can understand in this physical, well, it's in an unseen realm, but it's physical realm, but it's unseen. So that's what we need to be doing. Amen? Hallelujah. Is everybody with me so far? When you got born again, you're a new person in Christ. This happened on the inside of you. Now, people could see a change on the outside of you because you might have been happy. But nevertheless, some cultures don't have any kind of emotional sort of connection, and you can't. That's why God said to Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. Never think you know what somebody's thinking. I've been in meetings where somebody's getting blessed and the person beside them is going to sleep. Now, that tells me this can't be me. It's the recipient. Hey? So, there are two realms, amen? The natural realm and the spiritual realm. When you got saved, when you got born again, there was a great mystery that happened. It said that Christ, this was a mystery, that Christ would be in us the hope of glory. That the God of the universe, the creator of all things, would come and live on the inside of us. And you think, I have got a problem. Are you kidding me? It says that when you got saved, you got the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 16. It says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 20 that you have an unction or anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. You think I know? Is everybody saved here? You know all things. And you say, I don't know all things. I mean, I just lost my glasses the other day and I couldn't find them everywhere and they were on the top of my head. I lost my car keys, or I took a test at college or something and I failed. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things because you've got the God of the universe living on the inside of you. It's in your spirit that you know all things, not up here in your peanut brain. This is where, for those that do or don't, this is where you could run into a problem. There's only two kinds of problems you're going to have. Problems you got now. And somebody says, well, I don't have any problems now. Well, good for you. Well, let me tell you about the other kind of problem. It's the problems you're going to have. And that's not a bad confession. Just to be in this world is to have problems. You know, there's an enemy running around here and he's trying to take us out. Okay. Everybody with me so far? So you need wisdom. You think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do this year? The answer is on the inside of you. If you're saved and you're born again, the answer is on the inside of you. And you can draw it. It's like putting a bucket in a well and drawing it out when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you pray in tongues. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, for when I pray, my spirit prays. 1 Corinthians 14, 13 says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So if you've got a problem, you know what? I love praying in tongues. Who can tell I'm not real polished? I'm like a bushy speaker. And I tell you what, I said to Pastor Led, well, I'm not polished, but I tell you what, the content will be really good. Because it's not the polish that's going to help you. It's the Word of God that's going to help you. Who cares about polish? Just give it to me straight. If something's not working out, I must need to change. You know, if the cat's getting rubbed the wrong way, they let the cat turn around. Amen? And if our prayer life's not bearing fruit, we are the ones that need to do the changing. Amen? So when we pray, it's not a case. See, all of us in here have prayed for things and we think, you know, I know at a mental level you wouldn't think this, but I think deeper inside of us, sometimes we think, well, God, maybe he's withholding about that particular thing or whatever. But, you know, everything that Jesus has bought and paid for us through Calvary is part of the atonement, it's part of redemption. It's already ours now. The only things you might have to wait for is if something to do with a ministry matter, you might have to meet somebody, you've got to get training. You know, God's not going to call a novice and put them into the ministry because they do more damage than good. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus spent 30 years to train for a three-year ministry. And we train for 3 months and try and do a 30-year ministry. Something's wrong there. First Corinthians 14, verse 2, talking about drawing this wisdom out the inside of you. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Those answers, those mysteries are things that we can draw out and we can get the interpretation as we pray. Lord, show me what's going on here. As you pray in tongues, God will start to reveal things to you. Amen? It says in John 16, I think the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Amen. Wow. God has never failed to answer any of your prayers that you prayed according to his will. I'll tell them over here. They didn't seem very excited. God has never ever failed to answer any of your prayers that you prayed according to his will. But it takes a receiver, and faith is like a bridge. That over here, say you've got the spiritual world, over here you've got the natural world. And faith takes that spiritual reality that is just as real, but you can't be seen, right? It takes that spiritual reality and it brings it over here into the natural realm, just like the receiver of the television turns those signals into sight and sound. It takes those spiritual realities that are true, that are real spiritual realities, and it converts us into something here in the natural, into physical and tangible reality. And it's not a case of whether God's answered or not. It's a case of whether you can use your faith to convert that into something here in the natural realm. Everybody say amen or oh me. Everything for a Christian comes through your spirit. It doesn't come from the outside in. It comes from the inside out. Religion is a behavior modification. It works from the outside, trying to perfect things. God works from the inside out. The problem with man was that he had a sin nature. Listen, your actions don't make you a sinner. You were born a sinner. Sinners sin because their nature's to sin. I'm never surprised. I have no idea why they're so surprised. This was it Steinberg or whatever, this guy's been getting sexual favors in the Tollywood. I'm not surprised that happened. Here's Hollywood promoting promiscuity and adulteries and affairs and all stuff. And they're surprised. Oh, shock, this has happened. Listen, when I was even in my teens, I'd heard about the casting couch. Let's not be naive. Hey, you got a part was you slept with the director. This is not something new. And they're pumping out all this stuff and they're wondering, oh, shock, horror, this is happening. So faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not that they don't exist. They do exist. They're spiritual realities. Amen? Okay. All of us in here, to some degree, we have prayed prayers that haven't been answered. And I think at a deeper level, if I asked you, you know, God good, they say, oh yeah, God's good. Has God given us all things? Yeah, he's given us all things. But whether we realize it or not, when those things don't manifest, I think that it sets up on us a bit of like rejection. Not massively and not even knowingly, we don't even know we're doing this. And because of that, because we've had prayers that we've prayed, they were according to God's will, and we think God was withholding, God was the problem, It was us that couldn't actually format that into this physical realm and make it something tangible and in the physical realm. And because of that, we tend to get this rejection thing happening. Has anybody here ever been rejected? Put your hand up. That's got to be everybody in this room. This can happen often when we're a child. You know, you get rejected at school, you get rejected on the colour of your skin or your race or your whatever. They don't pick you for the footy team or the softball team or the whatever. And then you were in love with somebody from a distance at school and you would have given your life for them and they didn't even know you existed. And you get all this rejection stuff. And sometimes we can have that with God and we're not even aware of it. And I want to just say to you today, drop your rocks. What do you mean drop your rocks? Well, we don't even know it, but you know, when you didn't like somebody, you think they're doing the wrong thing to you or whatever's happening, if you didn't like them, you'd want to stone them, so you had to get your rocks. I'm just saying, drop your rocks towards me and towards God, because we had stinking thinking. We were thinking God's the withholder. He's not. It's us that have to change and do things. Amen? In Ephesians 1 verse 6, to the praise of his glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. Everybody say, I'm okay. God loves me. Unconditionally. With an eternal love. We can know that mentally, but you know, we just got to drop our guards, amen? And because of this, there is no reason any sin in your life that could stop you from being healed today. Now, I know that you're saying that mentally. You know, you've been taught well. But people do have reasons. They have reasons, well, you know, what I have is genetic. And? Who do you think made genetics? Somebody said, well, I was born this way. There were heaps of people that were born blind, born lame or whatever. They didn't stop them from getting healed. What's some other things I've got written down here? I was abused of a child. Well, that wouldn't stop you from getting healed. What about this one? You've got sin in your life. Revelation. All the people that Jesus ministered to, they were sinners. You couldn't be born again. And they got healed. Whole multitudes came and they all got healed. I mean, how hard can it be? It says in Hebrews 13 verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. Acts 10 verse 30. Thank you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing evil things. Oh, sorry. He went about doing what? And what? Healing all who are oppressed of God. Because God was trying to teach him a lesson. Oh, he's oppressed of the devil. Wow. You know what that tells me? There's the three Godhead involved in healing. How God the Father anointed Jesus the Son with the Holy Ghost and power. Here's the whole Godhead involved in doing good things, and healing is good. And sickness is bad. And God is good. And the devil is bad. And everyone can get healed. There is no reason why you can't be healed. You know, I believe that people have been healed in their seats today. I want everybody to check their body for lumps, aches and pains, and just tell me. Stand up if you already received the healing here in this meeting today. Check your body. Check your lumps. Check your pains. Check your aches. Check your eyes. Check your ears. Let me tell you, the first time I came and ministered to Les' church was in end of November last year. And I told you, two things will happen. People will be healed in their seats and then we'll demonstrate the power of God. At the end of the meeting, a guy came out to me. Is he here today? He was a tall guy. He's outside. What's his name? Ross. Ross comes to me and he says, can you pray for me? You know, I've got one leg an inch and a half shorter than the other. I said, no problem. I sit down in the chair. I checked the length of his legs and I said, there's nothing wrong with these legs. They're perfectly level. He said they were an inch and a half and he walked with a limp. So there's nothing wrong with his legs. You know, I put my fingers, thumbs on his ankle bones. And I think we started to laugh because I realised he got healed in his seat and he didn't know it. So you might be already healed, you don't know, maybe you won't find out till you go home or just check it around. But the power of God is present here to heal right now. And there is no reason why you can't be healed. There is no reason. You may have an excuse, but there is no reason. God's going to heal some people right now. And now the only exclusion to that is that there isn't anybody here that's sick. Now let me just ask you, is anybody here, right now, you've got pain in your body right now? Not a pain at 3 o'clock in the morning, or you get it when the your lumbago plays up or something when it's going to be rainy weather. Anybody in here have pain in your body right now? You have pain in your body right now? Come out here. You got pain in your body right now. What's the pain level out of 10? From zero being low pain, it's a 4. Okay, whereabouts is it? Ankle's got a lump. It's got pain there right now. So if the pain leaves, you'd know?
Yes.
You'd know if the pain left. Okay, no problem. I just take authority of that pain right now in the name of Lord Jesus. I curse it. I command to leave this body right now in Jesus' name. Command healing to come to that leg right now. I command that lump to disappear in Jesus' name. Okay, let's go for a walk. It's gone now. It's gone now. Give the Lord a hand. Did you see the stress and how much effort I put into healing that man? Did you see how stressed I was? Look, I'm sweating and perspiring. How difficult was that? I didn't heal that man. I didn't do anything. Amen. Now, as I was preparing this message today, I believe that God spoke to me, and I can relate to this. God will not only heal your physical body, he'll heal emotional hurts. Sorry if my stumbling, it's the time pressures. But he'll heal you wherever you hurt, even in your emotions. And I believe there's someone here today, I don't know if you call it a broken heart or whatever, but I had one of these once. My first church that I ever pastored in Alice Springs, I had a totally unrealistic expectations. And by the time I finished that church, man, I couldn't wait to get out of town. The devil was chasing us out. And I'd been to Bible college and I love God, but I had unrealistic expectations. That broke my heart. And I felt like a little child going to a parent or a dad. And you know when you get a box or something, it might be wrapped up or whatever and it's got dropped and you can rattle it and it sounds broken, like broken glass. That's what I felt like. I was a minister. That's how I felt. And I knew I couldn't fix myself. And God healed me of that. And God can heal you of that. And I believe there's someone today that's just like that. You could have even been a minister. You could even be someone who's been in this ministry, in ministry, and you're backed away. But you know what? Let God heal that today. There's anointing for that there here today. Amen. I believe there's someone here that could have post-nasal drip. God wants to heal that today. And there's somebody who's got something. I wrote down a club foot. I'm not sure what that is. But there's something wrong with somebody's foot. Anybody else here got pain in their body right now? Okay. Anybody need healing? Just stand up. Anybody that needs healing, just want you to stand up right now. Is that okay? Just stand up. There's absolutely no point in you going home being sick. If you need healing in your body, the power of God is here, present to heal. You need healing? Yep. What's wrong with you then? I mentioned three things. Yeah, okay. What was one of those? Yeah. Have you got all three? Let me tell you something. Today's your day for a miracle.
Amen.
I just rebuke that stuff in Jesus' name. I command that post-nasal drip to be healed. Thank you, Father God. I just want to hug you. Is that all right? God's going to take all that hurt away. And I'll tell you what, I didn't have anybody pray for me to get healed of a broken heart. But there's an anointing being poured into your body. And I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to reach out to people. Stop thinking about yourself and how hurt you are or whatever, and start to reach out to others. That's how I got healed. When I left Alice Springs, I told God, you can take your job and you can shove it. Now, I could just be plain. Now, that's not very nice, but that's where I was at. You got don't think one other thing and say something else. God knows your thoughts. God must have fallen off his throne laughing, because after that, we went and pioneered another two churches after I told God to take his job and shove it. Amen. Just be real with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're healed.
Amen.
You're healed. You're totally healed. You're happy.
Amen.
Let the joy of the Lord come out of him. Just right now, in Jesus' name, the joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. There's quite a few people here. We're running out of time. What's wrong with you? I just curse numbers in a hand and foot. I command all the sensation to come back, all the nerves function perfectly right now. Have full sensation now in Jesus' name. I command that leg to function perfectly in Jesus' name without a limp whatsoever.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. How you doing? All right? That's good. You feeling a bit better? You don't have to say if you don't, because I'm not doing the healing. It's no skin off my nose, right?
Yeah.
I'm just here. I'm just here like an agent.
Amen.
I don't even get commission.
Amen.
It's all free. It's all free. For all those others standing, just for the sake of time, I'm just going to pray for you. God knows what's wrong with you, all right? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just release that anointing right now, Father God. These are people that are believers. We release that healing, that resurrection life on the inside of them. Father, I command it to go to that part of their body that they need healing. And I just rebuke anything of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. Leave right now in Jesus' name. Just receive. Your faith is going to convert spiritual realities into tangible reality right here, as something manifests right now. I want you to check out your bodies. If you can tell any difference, if you can tell any difference right now, just put your hand up. Move around, check your lumps. People's lumps will move. People's ears can open. Eyes can see better. Growths can be removed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just lay hands on you. We've got a bit of time. I want to just lay hands. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is just about receiving, right? Hallelujah. This is just about receiving. Hallelujah. 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 Just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Hallelujah. Just start to thank God. Just thank God. Hallelujah. Just start thanking God. Hallelujah. Now the power of God's been imparted to your body. Just cooperate with it. Hallelujah. Actually, all I'm really doing is releasing what's already on the inside of a believer. Amen. Hallelujah. The faith is going to make that spiritual reality manifest into your body. Thank you, Lord. We just praise and thank you for all the wonderful things you've done through Christ, wrought a total victory for us, that I declare everybody healthy and whole in this congregation right now in Jesus' name. We rebuke the work of the enemy. And Father, I thank you, these people that are reaching out here in faith, Father, they go rejoicing in their healing, Father God. And Father, I thank you for a full manifestation in their body right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And they went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Les, and I'm done.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, did you receive something?
Yeah.
Praise God. Yep. And just keep checking yourself out and keep believing God, because stuff has been imparted. And we'll just keep allowing it to work out and manifest in our bodies. Amen.